Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Breaks down, the longer you wait on repairs, the more your productivity suffers. But waiting long won't be an issue if you use locally owned duplicating systems. With all their products, supplies, parts, and service team right here in Athens, they can quickly get the problem fixed and get your office back running smooth. Check out duplicatingsystems.com for complete information on their products and their services that can help keep your office up and running. Duplicating Systems, more than a system, a solution.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
You unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension. A dimension of sound. A dimension of sight. A dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into
the home team.
And here we go.
All right, so rolling into hour number two, it is the home team for a Tuesday with the Georgia baseball on deck tonight. The Dogs and Tech from SunTrust Park, third and final meeting between the teams this season. And it'll be the rubber game in the matchup, too. Coverage at 6:40, first pitch tonight at 7 o'clock. So Tyler in with me this evening, and we will jump right into today's very important topics in the 5 at 5, brought to you, as always, by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. And Tyler, you may fire when ready.
So obviously, G-Day was on Saturday, and for what of the game you did see concerning incoming freshmen, is there anybody that sticks out to you that you think is going to get a red shirt this year? Should get a red shirt.
Now, I don't think any of the guys that are early enrollees are red shirts. In fact, I mean, in this day and age, when you play four games, it still end up taking a red shirt. But I think most of the guys we saw out there this week will probably end up playing more than four games. Maybe Clay Webb, guys on the offensive line, the depth that's Georgia's building there. You could get your four games in and end up still taking a red shirt. But outside of that, those like Nolan Smith, N'Kobe Dean, Tyreek Stevenson, they're not red shirting.
You don't think DeJuan Mathis would only play the minimal four games?
Yeah, I guess Mathis would be the quarterback, yeah.
Because it seems to be, I mean, Mathis played pretty well, but it seems to be the consensus is that Stetson Bennett's going to get that backup job.
Right. I mean, even if Mathis was the backup quarterback, as long as Fromm stays healthy, maybe Mathis gets in some garbage time in some games. But,
right. Again, that would play into the four-game rule.
Yeah. Unless, I don't think with, still coming this summer between Pickens, Blaylock, and Micaiah Tung. Yeah, I think all those guys play at least four games, maybe, depending on how the receiver, the depth breaks out there and, who Georgia ends up establishing as the guys with the primary targets. I mean, maybe like Tung and Pickens could end up with one. I think Blaylock's going to come, and of those three, I would have him pegged as the one that maybe ends up being ready for more immediate action.
Right.
The other ones, could end up being redshirt candidates then.
Right. Well, that's kind of the thing is, when you're bringing in these so many high-profile guys, it's going to get kind of jammed up. But, I mean, the coaching staff showed that they like to get as many guys out there as they can and kind of.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of, on last year's team. I know we went over this at some point, and it wasn't many of guys that ended up taking red shirts even a year ago. Like, I guess Kiaris Jackson ended up taking one. He played in four games, but it's just most of those guys as freshmen get out there and play, even if it's on you know, special teams for some of those defenders.
Right.
You're not seeing a lot of it. And I would think for most of those defensive guys, you're gonna see them be out there and available in
so many rotations and stuff. So, all right, moving on. We kind of touched on this earlier when we opened the show, but the Raiders are telling everybody, or it's getting out there, that they're planning a big surprise with their fourth pick in the draft. What do you think that's going to be?
Well, the Cardinals are going to take Kyler Murray if they're still holding the number one pick. So it's not going to be Kyler Murray.
Right.
What would qualify as, a surprise, are they going to draft a guy who's like a projected third rounder with the fourth overall pick? Maybe they do something like that.
Like a dumb surprise kind of thing?
Yeah, maybe they take a kicker or a punter.
With what they've done in this just 1 year with Gruden back as head coach, I don't know what to expect. I really don't.
Well, last week there was some story about how they
sent everybody home,
dismissed all their scouts or something.
They didn't know who they could trust.
Yeah, I guess there was stuff leaking about who they liked and didn't like, and so they decided just to send them packing.
I mean, I don't know what to make of the Raiders these days. They'd be a great team for Hard Knocks, I feel like.
Well, yeah, and I was somebody asked me about that this weekend, and they've got the rules that you can pass on Hard Knocks if you have a new head coach, if you have made the playoffs within the last like year, or if you've already been on it recently. So you could start eliminating teams like that. And the Raiders are a team that I don't think, they don't have a new coach, they didn't make the playoffs, and they haven't been on it. So they can't say no to it. And I would think the Raiders would absolutely be the team that HBO would want for that.
Oh, yeah.
I'd almost think that's a lock that the Raiders are going to be on Hard Knocks.
I think they should be. We already know what kind of character Gruden is, and just seeing him in that environment, I think, would be hilarious. Because, I mean, the past couple years of Hard Knocks haven't been really all that great.
No, last year's, quite frankly, was boring with the Browns.
Yeah. It might be a little more interesting if they were the team this year. Then you're bringing an OBJ.
Yeah. I mean, they had some potential gold last season with Mayfield, but he was a rookie, so he wasn't showing up to training camp all
right.
You know, trying to be the center of attention. But I mean, Hugh Jackson was dull. The most entertaining thing about was that big offensive line coach.
I can't remember his name.
I can't remember his name
either.
Big gut. But I didn't even watch the last episode. I stopped watching it.
Yeah,
because I was bored by it.
What were some of the best seasons of Hard Knocks? Like, who were the best teams featured?
Well, like the Cowboys are always entertaining. There was one year the Chiefs were on it; they were boring. The Falcons were, because it's the Falcons. They were interesting. The Dolphins were on it a couple of years ago. I remember the Bengals were actually entertaining when they had, because they still had Chad
Ocho Cinco.
Johnson, Ocho Cinco, yeah. But I remember the Chiefs were boring. They had Herm Edwards still. The Cowboys were probably the team that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think the Raiders would make great television if they
Dallas
were the team this year.
Dallas has been on it now a couple times. Oh, I know. You know, no, Dallas, they've been on Hard Knocks a couple times, but I know what the Cowboys were on that was good is that Amazon Prime series that has, where they follow a team for an entire season. It's called All or Nothing.
Uh-huh.
And because they've done the Cardinals, and then they did last year, it was with Dallas.
Okay.
And it was a year that Dallas ended up not making the playoffs, and it's with Jerry Jones, and that's where you see him. He sits in on the coaches' meetings with his son. So that was good. That All or Nothing series is good on Amazon Prime. And they've had a couple too. They've actually had one with Michigan football, which I haven't watched. And I think they had one too, if you're into the Premier League. I think they've done one with Manchester City, maybe.
Uh-huh.
But the two they've had with the NFL were the Cardinals and Dallas.
Wonder who they pick this year.
I don't know. But they follow a team for it's not just training camp, it's the whole season.
Yeah. No, that does sound pretty good. I guess you'd kind of want a team that's projected to not be great for the drama aspect of it. You know,
Well, there's more like turmoil and stuff with
right,
that.
Right, makes better TV.
Like the Rams were good.
Yeah,
in fact, the Rams have been on that All or Nothing too.
Yeah, was it All or Nothing or Hard Knocks where Fisher fired or
that was Hard
released
Knocks.
Nick Foles?
That was on Hard Knocks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that
so
one.
So the Rams were actually good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That one came back to be pretty funny.
But the Rams were also on. They were on one of those seasons of that All or Nothing. And because that season ended, they fired Jeff Fisher, and the last episode of it was they were bringing in Sean McVay.
So you
saw Sean McVay getting the job and his first meeting with the team and all that.
Uh huh.
But it takes you inside the locker room and stuff, and you do see like for as much as it's easy to make them the butt of jokes with Jeff Fisher and, you know, being 7-9 and 8-8 and this, you know, these teams are struggling and they're not good. But you see like how it affects those guys when Fisher, they call a team meeting and he stands up in front of them and announces that he's been fired.
Right.
And I mean, those players, they don't take that easy.
Right. Okay. Moving on in the 5-5, the, Phoenix Suns just fired their head coach, Igor Kokoskov. Yeah, Kokoskov, I guess that's the way you pronounce it. After only one season, they went 19-63 through all sports. Is it fair to fire a coach after just one season?
Yes, I think it is. But I don't know that it's fair if you're a franchise like Phoenix that is in this where you're deliberately losing games.
Yeah.
Or you're not deliberately losing them. You're throwing a lineup out there, and those guys that are playing are trying to win the game.
They're just not good.
Yeah. But you're just, you're as the GM or whoever it is that's putting the team together, you're not putting the best possible team out there because you're trying to tank, win the lottery, and eventually keep building that. So for them, no, it's not fair. But, yeah, I think after one season, like when the Dolphins fired Cam Cameron after they went 1-15, yeah, I mean, if you win one game in the NFL, you should be canned after 1 year. I can't believe, like, Hugh Jackson, when they went 0-16, actually got a chance to come back. Well, they went 1-15, and then they went 0-16.
Yeah,
I can't believe after the 1-15 that – they let him come back, and then they let him come back after the 0-16.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's you could fire a coach after one season. Like what? I mean, what about if Florida State had fired Willie Taggart? Would that have been out of bounds?
I don't think so. They were horrendous.
And they haven't signed a quarterback in 2 years.
Yeah.
Well. Again, that's. I mean, it's when you're a college football coach. There's the fall Saturdays and the games, but then recruiting is a much bigger.
Right.
Piece of that pie. And when you're not even signing quarterbacks, it's just that's malpractice.
Yeah. So which sport is a more justifiable?
Football.
Football.
Yeah.
College or pro?
Well, either one,
either
really.
One. No, interchangeable.
I mean, well, like here's with college, you could inherit just a terrible situation. But in the NFL, you know, the talent level between NFL teams is not so great that you should be going winless or 1-15.
Right. Anybody can win a game any Sunday in the NFL.
Yeah. You know, but I get in college, you could just didn't. The situation you walk into could be bad. The previous coach could have just fallen asleep when it came to recruiting, and you don't have a great roster. But in the NFL, your roster's not that bad.
Right. Okay. So the NCAA announced today that they've made some changes for the upcoming season for rules, and two biggest ones concern targeting and overtime. Have you already seen these?
Yes.
So what's your reaction to either to both of these?
Look, I'm in favor of trying to make the game safer, and I get with when it comes to targeting, when you're watching the game in live action, something that could look like that was targeting or a hard hit, you're going to – I'm okay with erring on the side of caution and going back and reviewing it and then determining whether it's it was targeting or not.
Right.
But, like, a week ago was we're a week removed now from Georgia playing a 6.5-hour baseball game that went 20 innings, which was a time for me that next day to bring up my defensive ties. I'm not opposed to ties in sports.
Which you can do in conference games. yes. on a weekend series, but there's nothing for the non-conference stuff that happens during the week.
Right.
Which is crazy.
I mean, there's been a tie in the SEC this year. And there's overtime in the NFL. There are still ties in the NFL, too.
Yeah.
So I just when it gets to the overtime system, and so, by the way, what they've done is they've decided that after five overtimes, there'll be a two-point conversion shootout.
Right.
And they've also put in, I think, after, what is it, the fourth and the eighth overtime, a two-minute rest period?
Yes.
And so they're adding a rest period if the game goes long, but after five overtimes, teams are just going to run a two-point conversion play until there's a winner. So it's basically like a shootout now in soccer or hockey.
Right, right.
And I guess I just, when it's, I mean, really, is it that important for you to see there's a team that can call itself the winner of the game, that you'll just completely change the game just for that, just for the sake of, like, saying, I watch this and I need to have an outcome here where a team wins or loses? Because when it comes down to it, if one team wins because they've successfully completed a two-point conversion and the other one hasn't, I mean, is it really that much more satisfying than if you just went, you know what, maybe neither of these teams deserves to win and the game is tied and it's over?
So a game could theoretically come down to which team can get 2 yards the best.
Correct. Yeah.
And I guess the score would just go up by two each time.
I guess it's a two-point play, yeah.
So like tie 30-30, then 32-32, 34-34.
Yeah. Until one team gets one and one doesn't.
I guess. Really.
So it's like it's just a shootout. It's the penalty kicks in soccer.
Which, again, I mean, not that many games go this deep into overtime anyway. I mean, I know it was floated out there to just make that overtime completely, like, just nothing but two-point shootouts. I thought that was a little bit extreme, but, you know.
Isn't that what the XFL is doing?
Yes, that's what the XFL is doing. But this, you know, not most overtime games are going to reach five, and a lot of them aren't going to go past it.
No. I mean, it certainly is rare, but it's happened. I mean, heck, it's happened a bunch in the SEC with what Arkansas and Ole Miss did it.
Right.
What Arkansas was involved in, was it with LSU one other time? Then there was LSU and Texas A&M. So, I mean, it definitely happens. And the way college's system is, then it just ends up like skewing stats too.
Right. No, and LSU should have won that game.
Well, they were cheated
before the
game even got to overtime. But that's a different matter. But I just to me, if you eliminated overtime, it would put coaches in a position where they would just have to make decisions to win, lose, or draw in regulation, instead of having the security of, like, well, we have overtime. So late in the game, a team is driving, and they can't just kick a field goal to tie the game and go to overtime. If they want to win, they have to keep driving and going for a touchdown. So, you know, the idea, like, well, is it the overtimes are exciting? I'm not saying they're not. As a novelty, I mean, you're glued to that TV watching Texas A&M and LSU, but the end of a game could just be just as exciting as a team is forced to make that call of winning it now or losing it right now. Or
right.
If the coach is just like, you know what, I'll irritate everybody and just settle for the tie.
Didn't Notre Dame get a lot of flack for doing that once, years and years ago, just playing for a tie?
Yeah, well, they tied Michigan State.
Yeah.
That was like in 83, for the 83 season, the 84 Orange Bowl, when Miami won the national title. Tom Osborne, they probably could have kicked the extra point and tied that game and might very well have still been voted number one, but he went for the win.
Right.
And they went for two and didn't get it. And
right.
They ended up losing instead, but there was no overtime then, and he decided he wanted to try and win instead of just settling for the tie. And the tie might very well have just still given them the national title, but it ended up going to Miami instead.
All right, closing out the 5 at 5 with the NFL draft upcoming at the end of the week. NFL draft's been around since 1936, and between 1936 and 1997, there were only two NFL drafts that didn't feature a Hall of Famer. Do you know these two drafts?
What, an entire draft that not a single player,
not a single guy, as of right now, is in the Hall of Fame. Now, obviously, post 1997, you still have guys that are either still playing or, you know, have just wrapped up their careers, not eligible for the Hall of Fame yet. So it's just from 36 to 97. There were two drafts where not a single person drafted is in the Hall of Fame as of right now.
I wouldn't even, and I could just take a wild guess at it, but I wouldn't have a clue. I could just name a couple of years.
You want to try?
I would think it would probably be. Let me instead of guessing a specific year, let me say it's no draft from the 70s, 80s, or 90s.
False.
Okay.
For one of them.
All right.
One of them is 1992. You had the top pick in the draft being Steve Entman from Washington going to the Colts.
Are you saying for the entire draft or just the first round?
The entire draft. Not a single
Hall of Famer. So in 1992, seven rounds,
not a single Hall of Famer. I'm looking at, because this has Pro Bowlers highlighted here, Sean Gilbert, Desmond Howard, Troy Vincent, Bob Whitfield, Leon Searcy, Marco Coleman, Chester McLaughlin, Dale Carter, Robert Jones, Robert Porcher, Darrell Williams. That was all first-round guys. Tons of Pro Bowlers, no Hall of Famers.
You mean Tommy Maddox isn't in the Hall of Fame?
Tommy Maddox is not in the Hall of Fame. He didn't make the Pro Bowl either.
He didn't?
No, he did not. 25th pick to the Denver Broncos.
So 1992.
1992.
Not a single Hall of Famer.
Not a single Hall of Famer. That was the most recent draft to not have one. The other one was 1943. You want to know who the top pick in that draft was?
Yeah.
Frank Sinkwich.
Frank Sinkwich?
Yep.
How many rounds did they go then?
Ooh, let's see here. It was a long time ago. 32. Wow. Yeah, 32 rounds.
32, there were 300 total picks. I'm looking at it.
And Mr. Irrelevant was Bo Bogovich, a guard for the Washington Redskins.
Who played at Delaware.
1943.
Yeah, Sinkwich, the number one overall pick.
Not in the Hall of Fame.
No. So 1992, that's the one that's...
Yeah, that's kind of bewildering.
Recent. So 336 picks in that 1992 draft, not a single Hall of Famer in it.
I mean, if I don't know if you're looking at it or not. Is anybody on this list sticking out to you that could still maybe get in?
No, I mean, I'm not going to go through all seven rounds, but of the just like the top, the first and second round?
Yeah.
No.
Nobody? Think it's going to stay like that?
I mean, Bob Whitfield was really good, but he's not Hall of Famer good. And that was a good pick for the Falcons. Oh, look, an offensive lineman.
Way back then.
Yeah.
Is that was Glanville still the coach back then, 92?
Yeah.
That was before Dan Reeves came in.
And before, and then they had June Jones.
Oh, that's right.
Even in between. Yeah, I'm looking like Jimmy Smith was... He was drafted by the Cowboys in the second round. Yeah. Chuck Smith was a good player.
Mm-hmm.
Falcons took him in the second round, but he's in the Hall of Fame. Yeah, I don't know. There's no one.
So in 60-ish years, 61 years, I guess, only two drafts, never produced Hall of Famer.
Yeah, that's impressive, though.
I know, it's crazy. Because I got this from a list on ProFootballHallOfFame.com, and 1986 was featured on this list as not having a Hall of Famer, but that recently changed. I got to pull that back up because they just had somebody added. Who's the Hall of Famer? That would be Charles Haley.
Okay. So we've had one guy from the 86 draft.
One guy from the 86 draft. He was up whenever that list was made. The 86 draft was did not have a Hall of Famer. So
well, that draft had Bo Jackson too.
I know, first overall pick.
Yeah, that first that went Bo Jackson, Tony Casillas, Jim Everett, John Hand, Anthony Bell. Whew.
Only one Hall of Famer.
Yeah, that wasn't a good-looking draft. And where was Haley drafted?
Let's see. Where was he drafted?
There's my man John Offerdahl. He was taken in that draft.
Still scrolling. Oh, he was drafted in the fourth round, 96th pick.
Okay. All right, there you go. That's today's 5 at 5. You had 92, and I think they're still on the clock for not having a Hall of Famer. 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems, more than a system, a solution.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.